Karen Lewis, our missionary to Israel, her Christian friends of Israel. She works there in Jerusalem for, what, 9 years now? 11 years. Pretty soon is going to have her bar mitzvah there. Two more years, right? Your bar mitzvah. Oh, we're so delighted to have you again. Every year you come back, and we're just so blessed. So come on up.
Well, it's great to be back. It's great to see some old faces, some new faces. All of you kind of, who does not know me? Is there quite a bit of you guys? Oh, come on. Oh, not so much. A lot of you guys know me. You mind if I open up with a word of prayer real quick? Father, I just want to thank you for the privilege of being here. Lord, I thank you, Father, for, I remember 11 years ago, this group of bodies sent me to Israel not knowing where I would going, and here I am, 11 years later, doing things that blow my mind because you are faithful, because you are good, because you united us together as a body, and you used us to mold us into what it is your destiny is for each of us. And I can't help but praise you and thank you. And I ask you, Lord, just to open our hearts and open our minds and our understanding to hear what your spirit has to share. In Yeshua's name, amen. Wow. I can't believe it's been 11 years. Can you? I know it does. And how? Okay, I'll watch the time. Okay, if I go too long, let me know somehow, okay? Oh, okay, thank you. Okay, first of all, just in case some of you guys don't know me, I want to first of all thank Rebbe Nate for having me and for all of you guys for allowing me to come each year. I wasn't able to come for 2 years, but I'm here now because I had a little bit of visa problem, and praise God, God worked that all out. And I just want to tell you just briefly, for those of you who do not know what I do, I work with an organization called Christian Friends of Israel. I went there 11 years ago thinking I would be there just for 2 years. And then after the 2 years, the Lord asked me, well, would you like to stay another year? And I said, well, I'll tell you what, you work on my visa and you work on my finances, you know, that'll be a deal. And 11 years later, he's continued to be faithful with the finances, and he's continued to be faithful with the visa. And in Israel today, right now, we're having major problems with our visa with the Ministry of Interior, who are controlled by the Shas Party, which is the ultra-Orthodox Jews. They want to get rid of us, I'm afraid to say. And they're giving us a very hard time, but miraculously, I continue to stay there. It totally is the Lord's hand. The work that we've been there for 25 years, Ray and Sharon Sanders are the founders of Christian Friends of Israel. They're from Midwest, Illinois, and Iowa, just to let you know that. I think they came here once and shared. And we do outreaches to the Jewish people. Our calling is the Jewish people because, like you, we love the Jewish people. We want to pray them into the God's calling in their lives for what God called them to do. If you lived in Israel today, you know, you may have a romantic view, but I tell you that nation is very lost. A lot of diverse opinions, a lot of fighting among themselves. You got the secular, you got the religious, you have different cultures fighting with each other, but you also have a lot of unity. When it comes, push comes to shove, there's a lot of unity among the Jewish people, especially if there's about ready to be a war. There's a lot of unity. What we do at Christian Friends of Israel, we help the new immigrants who come into the land of Israel. We give them clothing. We give them a gift bag. We also help the poor in the land. We give them things as well, help them financially. We have a ministry for the terror attack victims. When the Intifada began in year 2000, we opened up a work among the terror attack victims. We're able to visit them, help them financially, just hear their story, because a lot of times they just need to be heard. We also help the Ethiopian community. They're the Jews that came from Ethiopia. Believe it or not, this is a tribal group of people. When they came to Israel, they didn't even know how to brush their teeth. They used trees to brush their teeth. So the Jewish community was very well at teaching them how to use toothbrushes and introduce them to the Hebrew language and being sensitive to that culture, because the father is the tribe of the family. And for a little one who learns Hebrew quickly, it's not cool for him to teach his father what to do. It's just not cool in that tribal mentality. So they had to overcome these obstacles, and so unfortunately, they're the poor in the land also, so we help them out with an adoption program. And then we also have the Holocaust survivors. We help them. There's, I don't know how many are left, but do you realize that out of the 6 million Jews that they have account for that died during the Holocaust, 3,000 of them, they don't have names for. Can you believe that? I did not know that till the lady from the Holocaust Museum shared that with us. I was shocked. But anyway, we also help the Holocaust survivors. And then my work is David Shield. It's a project that reaches out to the Israeli soldiers. And that's exactly what we do. I began this project 6 years ago, and I asked the Lord, Lord, how can this Gentile woman from the United States of America get into the army of the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces? And little by little, over the years, for four years, I really, you know, the Lord brought me people. I had a lot of money, but I wasn't giving enough to enough soldiers. Now, in the last 2 years since you guys seen me, I have the opposite problem. I have more requests, and I don't have enough money, which is a blessing. And I give the Lord honor for that because, really, it's been His favor. There's this group called Libby. You see, the American Friends of Libby. I went on a tour, but let me explain to you who Libby is. Libby is a nonprofit organization in Israel who helps the Israeli soldiers. They help with scholarship programs, loan soldiers. They help with technology, all kinds of things. They're like a nonprofit organization that we can give to. And because of my favor with this one particular gal who got me into the door, taught me the ropes, I was able to get favor with the Libby Fund, and I was able to get permissions to go on the bases and also to go on this tour. So the American Friends of Libby invited me to go on this tour, and this was last April. It was an amazing tour, and it really opened my eyes to a lot about the Israeli Defense Forces. One thing I've learned about the Israeli Defense Forces, we've touched the heart of the society of the people. Because when a soldier goes into the army, he only gets a bike about $75 a month. But if he's a combat soldier, he gets about $150 a month. So that's not much. The society is structured where the family takes care of their young adult. Whenever they want to go home for Shabbat or whenever they want to need some money or something like that, mom and dad's supposed to kind of help out. But unfortunately, in the combat soldiers, you're talking about lower income families. So their family can't afford a fleece jacket or a backpack. Some of them can, but they appreciate what we do. And that's where we come in. We're able to furnish backpacks and fleece jackets with their logo on their jacket. What else? During the summer, t-shirts, hats, schluckers, which are water bags with a straw. Whatever requests they have, they're odd requests, but whatever we can do to help to show that there are Christians in the nations that love them and support them and care about what they do. And they're totally blown away that there is someone outside the Jewish community that actually cares and appreciates what they're doing, because really the truth is the East and the West are meeting there in Israel. So I'll tell you a little bit about my tour, and I'll tell you a neat story. Okay, go ahead. Oh yeah, I gotta push this. I hit the forward thing, right? Okay, on our first day of the tour, blew me out of the way. It was an amazing day. We met at Tel Aviv, and they were showing us we're gonna fly. I didn't know we were gonna fly that day, but we flew from Tel Aviv to Eilat, which is about a 4-hour drive, but it took us a 55-minute flight. So we were flying in the air. In the second picture, you see an Arab village in the Negev. During the Operation Cast Lead, which was a long time ago, when you guys, last time you saw me, that following Hanukkah, Operation Cast Lead. Y'all remember Operation Cast Lead when Israel went into Gaza? Well, I had a lot of fleece jackets and care packages to give to soldiers. And this is a quick story I wanted to tell you. And I couldn't seem to, everyone I said, they said, no, we can't receive them now, we can't receive them now. Then I got the hint, oh, something's going on. And so I waited and I waited, and literally the week before they went into Gaza, actually 3 days before they went into Gaza, I wanted to deliver fleece jackets and care packages, and the officer told me, well, can you come today? I said, sure, I can come today. So I packed our van surplus so we can get to the front lines gloves and a neck warmer and fleece jackets and a candy bar to show them our support. We stuffed that van. It was a big van. We stuffed it full. And so when I got there, you know where Gaza is, sort of on the map, okay? You know where Steyr Road is. It's about 2 miles or maybe 3 miles from Gaza. And then Beersheba down south. Well, I was meeting him at Kama Junction. I don't know if you probably don't know where that's at, but it's more east from there, quite a bit east. And I was supposed to meet him at Kama Junction to deliver the stuff. Well, he told me that they went to Gaza that night, or right on the border of Gaza, can I come down? It's like, okay, sure, you know. So I said, sure, okay. So we prayed. We said, okay, Lord, protect us. So we went. We went right to the Gaza border, right about a mile away, if not less than that. And the officer was flown away. He was like, my gosh, what is all this? I just wanted these jackets. I said, no, we want you to give them out. Can you give them out? Oh, yeah, I can give them out. So he got 3 Jeeps, and they stuffed those Jeeps in, and we were in the parking lot outside while everybody was going into the mother base getting ready for the war. And the next thing I know, he says, here, wear my jacket. I'm going to smuggle you on the base. I said, you're going to what? So I was smuggled on an army base during a wartime. And when I went into this, it was a mock Arab village. And when I went in, it was like, it blew me out of the water. I was there for about 10, 15 minutes, and there were soldiers all dressed up in full gear with their canine, with their dogs. There were sharpshooters, and, you know, they were all getting ready for war. They had all, 80 pounds of gear. I'm not exaggerating. They had knee pads on. They were getting ready for war, getting practicing. And he goes, here, I want to show you some of my men. I said, oh, okay. So we're driving along, and he goes over a couple of dunes, and we're walking through the wind. And it's, believe it or not, it's cold in Gaza, even though you think it's in the desert. But it's cold, and it's wet. And we finally get to his soldiers, about 12 of them. And he speaks to them in Hebrew, saying, I want you to know that these Christians came all the way from Jerusalem to give us fleece jackets and gloves and hats and candy bar. Can you believe it? And they're like, wow, you know. And he says, Karen, can you say something to them? And I said, you guys speak English? They said, yeah. And I said, what can I say? You guys are right on the front lines where the East and the West meet. And we just want to let you know that there are Christians in the nation praying for you that love you. And we appreciate what you're doing, and we ask you to, you know, to go in God's peace. And they were like, we love you too. I was like, okay. So we got on back on the Jeep. He drove us around that little Arab village, showing us his guys. And then we were back out the gate within 10 minutes. He took our jacket. He says, do you know the way back home? I said, sure. And he says, see you later. And then I looked at my friend. I'm like, what was that all about? You know, we were just shocked that something like that happened to us. So we got in the car, we went right back to Jerusalem, thanking the Lord for a wonderful experience. And when we got home back to Jerusalem, about five people came out in the parking lot to greet us, which is unusual. And they're like, oh, praise God, you're okay. And we're like, what do you mean? And they said two Katushas hit into Beersheba, and about 10 Kassams hit into Sderot that day. And we were right in the middle, just like Psalm 91 says. So we were like, thank you, Lord. The Lord really, he does order your steps. He does protect us. And also, I know you guys pray for me. So we're all in this together. You know that? Okay, on that tour, we also went down towards Eilat, and we met a group of soldiers. I forget that I got to push this. And we met some women combat soldiers. I didn't know there were women combat soldiers till this day. And they protect the border of the Sinai Peninsula. The Sinai Peninsula, the Sinai border, has no fence, no gate, no wall. Nothing, and they, and also there's also male soldiers, so it's not just them, and they were explaining us to their missions. The guy in the second picture there with that funny looking Jeep, their special forces unit, and that was the group of us there meeting together. And then after we met them and met another group, we went in, back on the airplane, and we flew to Rimon, Mitzpe Rimon. There's a near Mitzpe Rimon, there's an officer academy there, and so we all had to wear berets. And while we were there, they were telling us about one of the things they have to do as an officer is find a soldier that died and write a memorial, and that's what that book's about. And then after we, this is still day one, okay? After we did that, we got into a bus finally, and we drove to Ben-Gurion's place in the kibbutz near Avdat, Spring Avdat, and that's an amazing place. And we met, went into his old house, and then we went and had dinner out here at Golda Meir's park, and then we drove to Tel Aviv. We got back about 9 o'clock that night. The second day of our tour was Yom Zikron, which is a day of memory, of names of soldiers who died in the war. I think America's missing something, you know, because right after Yom Zikron, they have a solemn service, the families, the soldiers go, and they honor their soldiers. Ehud Barak spoke at this particular ceremony while we were there. Then that evening, boom, it's the Independence Day. And there's great sorrow one day, and then, boom, great joy. They remember why. And it's an amazing move of emotion. When we went to this place, this was in Jerusalem. So we were in Tel Aviv, and then they drove us to Jerusalem that night. And we found out you had to know somebody to get tickets to this. And it's like a big performance that they do every Independence Day. And so we really had an amazing time there. Then they took us on a tour, which I've done many times, of the old city, the Western Wall Tunnel tour, which I recommend if you go there. That gentleman there is the head of all the rabbis in the IDF. He's a general. And then we met on our way out of Jerusalem, we met a group of guys down that you see, they're giving us like a demonstration. Everywhere we went, they gave us demonstrations. And what they were telling us, what these guys do, they build like a foxhole. They hide in and watch a terrorist in Ramallah, for example. And they just take notes, what he's doing, what's going on, where he goes. you know, pretty much keep an eye on him. And one time they saw one of these terrorists dress up like a lady, put on a burqa and walking out. And because he dressed up like a lady, they were able to nab him and they caught him, is what they told me. On the fourth day, this looks bloody, but it's not real, okay? This was a demonstration. They were showing us like a terrorist attack. This young lady down at the bottom was a terrorist, and she shot two people, and she was showing us, they were showing us how a medic team responds to three different victims, who gets treated first and who, you know, gets treated last, and the decisions that they have to make. And what was amazing during this demonstration, when they actually put like intravenous, you know, needle in, they actually did it as to practice. So I was really amazed that they did that. They went that far. And so here they are doing triage, and there's the group of us. And that's the young little terrorist. And then on day four, we went to the Golani Brigade. We had lunch with them. There's like different combat soldier units. One is Golani, Gavati, Nahal, the paratroopers. Now they have the Kafir. And each of these, what they do is they rotate bases throughout, like throughout the state of Israel. Like the Golani, you think of the Golan. Yeah, they're in the Golan for about 6 months. Then they rotate down to the central area. Then they rotate down toward the Gaza area. Then they rotate down in the Sinai. And they just rotate each of these every 6 months, which I think is a great idea. That way they're familiar with all the terrain when it's time. Okay, then they gave us a surprise. We met a Druze man. We couldn't take pictures because it was top secret. They were teaching us about their intelligent units. Has anybody read the book of Hamas, The Son of Hamas? Oh, it's a few of you. I recommend that book. If you want to learn about the what they do for human intelligence, 80% of Israelis' intelligence is human intelligence and how they do it. And they actually take care. Let's say, unfortunately, that a collaborator gets caught among his Arab people and he dies, Israel will continue to take care of that family, which I don't think a lot of people know about. But we met a collaborator near Lebanon border. He was a principal of a school in the Druze, and we really couldn't ask him questions. We're just asking questions about his Druze identity. It wasn't until later on the trip we actually met his handler, and they just want us to meet a collaborator, which he didn't know that we knew. It was quite interesting. Okay, on day five, we went to Sderot. This was the mayor of Sderot on the right. The picture down on the bottom left are pictures of people who died during Qassam rockets. Qassam rockets are really crudely made, about this big, crudely made rockets. And they just aimlessly shoot, is what they do. They don't know where they're shooting, but they can tell by if they shoot a rocket where it goes because Israel reports that it was hit this place. And if they made a hit, they'll keep trying to shoot. Do you see what I mean? And it shoots maybe 2 to 3 miles, maybe 5 miles max. But they have been suffering in Sderot for the last 8 years, literally thousands, hundreds of rockets coming over. And before the Gaza war came to be, they were shooting over 100 rockets a day, 80, 50. They were just shooting them. And Israel had to do something. And they don't want to do something until they're put in a bad position. So finally, they had to protect their people. So we met him, and on the bottom right, you'll see like a police car, and behind him are the remains of Qassam rockets that they've collected. Then we went to Tel Nof Air Force Base and couldn't take pictures again, but this is the search and rescue team. This is a very unique helicopter, and they do a lot of saving of lives, both civilian and military. And then we went to a medical training school. They practice on these dummies. They're worth $50,000, can you imagine? But I guess they have lungs, they have hearts, they have missing toes, missing arms, whatever, to practice. And also they can also do intravenous training on this stuff. And this is the IDF Surgeon General. He's a general, and he was just sharing about what they have to do. And then we went to a graduation ceremony. And this part really touched me on the last day, one of the last few days we were there. There's a group near Mount Tabor where they take Israeli kids who are kind of, believe it or not, rejected by their families. They've gotten involved in drugs, the crime scene. They don't even know who they are as Jews. They have no idea what a Jew is and what they are. And they've often in jail, they've gotten into trouble, and they have a group of people who kind of look for these young men and women, mainly men, and they try to give them a second chance, and they can tell whether they want a second chance. They have such a good rate at this, 80% of these young men make it into the army, become responsible living citizens, and get their education, which is really good. What's funny, what I found funny, this lady on the left down here, Micah, all of the instructors there are female. And why are they female? Because women are more sensitive emotionally to these young men. And at first they yell at them, they cuss at them, and the young ladies can take it. And then after a while, sometimes they have a hard time. They also break down because they know they're trying to help them. But really, they just take it for a while. And by the time she's done with them and tells them and patiently gives them orders, all of a sudden she's walking around, these little ducks are following her everywhere she goes because she's become mom to them. So it's really amazing. Now this young man at the top, Mati, he was a success story. He had the same thing happen to him. His father died of overdose drugs. His mother died of cancer. He was sort of left out there. And long story short, he wanted to give back to his country what they gave to him. And so he's down at the bottom here. He has his back turned in the bottom picture, teaching these new recruits what to expect and preparing them to what lies ahead for them. And that's the group of us in front of this place. And one quote I love, Ben-Gurion, a nation builds an army and the army builds a nation. Do you see how every young man and woman has to join the army or the national service? Most of them join the army, except for the ultra-religious, they don't. And that's something between their government. And really, we really have touched the heart of the society in helping the soldiers. Okay, this was our last day. The guy on the left is a commander, and he was part of the, I don't know if it was Shin Bet, but one of the top secret groups, a handler of working with human resources, of working with collaborators. And they took us to a firing range where we could try to shoot a Uzi, and I shot a Uzi. Can you believe it? I don't know what I did, but I shot an Uzi. Because I'm scared to death of firearms, but I felt peer pressure to do so I did. I just asked for the lightest gun, and I got by with it just fine. And then we went to a really neat, another commando unit where we were able to, this was the elite unit. This was where Bibi Netanyahu's brother Yoni went to Netebe, right? Y'all know that story about Netebe? Where they went over there and did a hostage rescue, which was a miracle. But unfortunately, Yoni died in that. Bibi Netanyahu was in this unit. You have to know somebody. You have to be somebody pretty special. They say 4,000 people try out for it. Only 15 make it. So it's really, they test you psychologically, intellectually, physically, and they really do you in. And these are the guys that are doing things that we don't know. They're in Lebanon, they're in Syria, they're in probably Iran, it wouldn't surprise me. Okay, these are just some pictures I thought I'd share with you about the project and some of the soldiers we're meeting. This was a Golani base. I gave them some backpacks, and they had just gotten these brand new personnel carrier, and they took me inside and showed it to me. It was air conditioned, cold water. It was pretty neat. I've been to Hebron. I've been everywhere. I've been as far as the Golan and as south as the Sinai border. I've been not in Nablus, but I've been around Nablus. I've been in Hebron. And this is Hebron. That's where the caves of Machpelah are at. That's where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and Leah are buried, in case you don't know. And that building there on the top left, that was built by King Herod. Herod had built that, and it still remains today, which is amazing. Okay, these are some of my friends. This is Zicky. I found out he was born on my birthday. Yeah, just this my last birthday, and he is such a precious brother. He's like a chief master sergeant is in the Army. They're really the backbone, them and the soldiers, the officers are the backbone of the IDF. And they were just showing us, this is Yom Mishpacha, Family Day. They invited us to come. It's a day where they show their parents what their soldiers are doing in the tanks. And they were showing us around. And this young lady, she was not in the tanks, but she was electronic, you know, and she really thought she was something special because she did all the electronics in the tank. And because of her, they couldn't ride the tanks. But it was real, she was a delight. She was a wonderful hostess. And then we saw the tank show. They showed us when they were coming, and interesting. And these are some of the forces we've helped. We've helped special forces with a Leatherman knife. That was interesting when I went to see them. I heard all the soldiers saying in Hebrew, oh, she's giving us candy, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And so the officer explained what I was doing. And then I said, well, here's your candy bar. And they were like, wow. It was a Leatherman's knife. It's a little tool knife, you know what I mean? So they were pretty happy. And the guy at the bottom, a commando unit, and the Navy. Finally got to deal with the Navy. Before I came, I actually visited a Navy base. And that particular young man was involved with the latest Flotilla incident that y'all had. And this is Gilad Shalit's unit. Gilad Shalit, y'all know who he is? Yes? Okay. This was his unit. His commander is Azulai. I love that brother. And we gave them t-shirts that day, and they were fixing a tank. And they gave us a little show how the tank does what it does. It was quite amazing. This is something unusual. I took a picture of a picture in a magazine, and this shows the soldiers praying before they went into battle in Gaza. You don't see this, but they were asking the Lord ahead of time to forgive us for having to kill our enemies. This stuff doesn't make the news. And do you realize that when they went into Gaza, they sent out paper, leaflets of paper, to the Palestinian people in Gaza to say, don't go to this house, we're going to bomb it, because we believe that there are terrorists there and there's a cache of whatever there. They were doing all they could, really, to protect the common people. And my friends told me in the army that a lot of the Hamas terrorists who were dressed in uniform took off their uniforms and put on plain clothes to protect themselves. So just to let you know that I from what I've learned about the army, you know, not every army is perfect, but as a whole, they really teach the value of life in these young men, not to take a life. As a matter of fact, they will risk their own life to protect the enemy's family, for example, before they would take their lives. They really go out of their way. They have tried. And I said, don't worry about me. The IDF is behind me. But I did that for my dad more than anybody. And also the Lord is behind me. You know that. One thing I want to share, there are some things going on in the Lebanese border right now. Israel has done really a good job telling the UN what's going on in Lebanon. And you know that incident where just last summer we were getting some trees cut on the Lebanese border there. They got permission from the UN to do it. The UN said okay. And the Lebanese army shot over into Israel and killed one of our officers. You remember that story? Well, that changed the dynamics a lot for Israel, because it was the Lebanese army. The Lebanese army never came at Israel in that way. It was always Hezbollah. So the change of events going on there are very interesting. And Israel is also taking pictures for the UN to show them that Hezbollah along the border where the Arab villages are at, the people who live there have left pretty much. And they're stashing rockets and ammunition all in those mosques, in the hospitals, in the schools. They've taken pictures to show the UN, just to let you know that when they do try to come at us, we're going to blow up everything. It's pretty much what they said. They also took pictures of and sent it to the UN, where Syria was transporting Scud missiles. That's what Saddam Hussein was shooting over to Hezbollah. And they've taken pictures, and they told Syria that if one of those babies come to us, we're coming after you. And they also showed the UN. So the UN knows what's going on. And anyway, I just want to let you know that that's a situation is quite dodgy, quite interesting. I don't know what to expect. But I just know that God is the God of Israel. And he will protect his people. And you know, like you, I just want to give an example. For example, you guys have prayed my calling. I didn't know what I was going to do. Who would have thought 11 years from now I'd be working with the IDF like I do? And have so many favors with officers and a lot of important people in the IDF. You know, you guys prayed my calling, really, basically. You've prayed, you've undergirded, you sent support, you sent me emails, whatever way you did it, you communicated to me you cared. And that's how it is with Israel. You know, whether you're Jew or whether you're Gentile, you know, the Jews are chosen for a cause in this day, and we need to pray them into their calling. And they're no more special than us because we're Gentiles. We're chosen too. Do you know that? We're chosen too to be grafted in. So we're all chosen into the kingdom of God. But during this time of history, during this time when the whole world is looking at the most controversial political, spiritual land in the world, I mean, you guys know what's going on in my backyard before I do sometimes. You know what I mean? We need to be praying for the Jewish people to come into that full calling of what he's doing in these days, because ultimately God's goal is to save all men. That is his goal. His goal is that no one should perish, but all to come to everlasting life. And Psalm 83 talks about that why are you silent, O Lord, when the enemies of Israel come against us? And it talks about Moab and Syria and Egypt all coming against Israel. But at the end of the psalm, the Lord says, that they may know that you, whose name alone is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. And that's why God has brought it all about, to show that he is the true God of Israel. Just like he did to the Egyptians in the known world when Moses delivered them, he's doing the same today. Isn't that good news? I did my 30 minutes. Do I have time for questions? Or you have any questions? I covered everything well. Great. Okay, super. Well, thank you guys for praying for me. I love and appreciate each of you, really. Thank you very much.